Following is a poem about my father, which I wrote last spring, and it follows a poem about my grandfather, which I wrote last fall. But I think I'll read the poem about my father. It's called The Descent. When I think of him, it is me. As old pictures in boxes, old books covered with dust and cobwebs, old hockey sticks, baseball gloves, college annuals have been carried from house to house, and I turn them over many forgetful hours underground. His handwriting from how many, 30 years ago? The eyes in the pictures straight without desire like mine. It is me in outlandish clothes, long wool bathing suit, plus fours, white shoes, holding tennis racket. Me staring fixedly at the invisible rigid camera beside a jazzy black car with white canvas top spoke wheels resting on dusty ground. Somewhere, 1927 Okanagan, highway beside rocky blasted cliff over dangerous drop into water below. In one family picture, he is bald, having shaved his head for fun and the summer sunshine. My grandmother told me, though she never laughed, she would have thought it funny if she wasn't a Baptist. His brother's Coley, dog sitting beside him, muzzle in his hand. Old Coley, dead how many years, and my grandmother. And who knows where the picture is now? What happens to old cars? I remember automobile graveyards beside the highway all the way down the coast one summer. But I wonder, what about him? Where did he drive to? I know he had to go out of the house to have a cigarette. There were many verbs around that house, and the chief among them was give thanks. Well, I hear he drove through the snow 40 miles for a cold basketball game where you could work it out in sharp turns, leg-weary dashes up the floor, while Lou, older, lay at home on his broken back, painting in oils, pleasant scenes, giving thanks. Or Jerry, behind the shed, trying to roll cigarettes from apple leaves. Ella cheering without knowledge when he scored a basket from far out. A point for us. Give thanks. An entirely masculine gesture, scoring a basket. I remember where they lived. You had to go out of the house to have a crap sometimes in the frozen middle of winter, exposed girls and boys alike. Well, when I look at the pictures, I see me looking back, giving thanks to my 21st year till I gave up praying. He was a young man at college. He got up in the dawn light, walked through frozen snow to light the coal furnaces, the funny feeling you get all alone in the forbidden early part of the day. You hear animals grunting like people against the warmth of walls. See birds balancing sleepy and frazzle-feathered on wires, making the first morning slant light gray peeps and chirrups, answers coming quietly from down the line. It was like that summer we watched for fires together on top of a mountain. He cracked ice for the morning coffee and the slippery porridge, and birds made tentative, forbidden sounds from another part of the forest. And sometimes I'd find the pictures from that summer, me stirring the grouse in the pot, or him bending over in undershirt straps, hands on knees, civilized man in whiskers, grimacing on top of a mountain, the dog somewhere yapping at a chipmunk, tail full of burrs, which we would stop to pick out quietly while the sun got warmer on our backs, the tent getting near time for him to check the other mountains for smoke. Both of us wandering the top of our mountain in underwear and pajamas. With the pictures, old love letters, magazines, college annuals, calendars with circled dates, and the hopeless worn-out pages of labor songs that I never asked about, strange relics of the 1920s, him alive during Dempsey and Sacco-Vanzenti times. So did he walk in crowds, singing those things, detach himself in thoughtful rooms, reading them? Oh, my darling Nellie Gray, they have taken you away, and I'll never see my sweetheart anymore. Is what I heard. Mornings of slippers and banging stove lids, I'd awaken to see my giant icicle still outside the window, and him in the kitchen crumpling newspapers and rattling the wood box, rolling cigarette while the flames caught, always the first time, to which I have always aspired. Walking now to the kitchen mornings with the same gait of bony feet, slippers making the same first scratching sounds of morning, woman in bed, depending, I could run a mountaintop all right. reading as much as I can, his old books, Huxley, Taine, Hardy, Wells, Dickens, Crane, dusty volumes in dirty boxes, all signed how many? 35 years ago? Thought Control, Speed Writing, Mysteries of the Yoga, Scott to the Antarctica, The Sun and Its Neighbors, Food for Thought, Western Grain Farmer, The Life Bounteous, Fertility Cults Among the South Sea, Islanders, pages spiderwebbed together, bookmarks from Brandon, Manitoba shops where I passed through once, looking for designs of age in the trees, imagining freezing walks to the basement furnaces, long hour of warming air, waking birds. The descent follows the ascent to wisdom as to despair. Gave up praying as his father before him, I don't know when, but in the pictures he is youth, leader, bent on ethics and behavior through the world, high scorer on basketball team, top scholar, lost his finger in a buzzsaw, left pictures, cars, church behind him, gave thanks, climbed the mountain of solitude, spoke sometimes in short bursts of poetry, trimming the muscles of his arm, building houses and filling them, leaving the rest in the basement, dusty and remembered behind years of worn-out shoes. Where I find it all now, it is me when I think of him. Him, me, we. The descent follows. Live again, but not as his mother told us. He descends, remembers, lives again in me, ascending from this basement into a new life, reborn from him, from time, out into the air, shaking off the dust like a dust-rolling dog, free to wisdom and despair.